Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Third hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a great day to this point. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here with you. Chase will be back with us on Monday. It is time for the list. Who or what has made you mad? 615-737-1025. You tell us who's done that. The best one, $25 gift card to Starbucks. That's what's on the line. Pierre McGuire at the bottom of the hour, but we want to hear from you. This is where we ask you to participate. Jump in there. Get involved. During these times, there's a lot of things that probably make you mad. So just tell us who or what has made you mad. Anybody want to, really? You ready to start?
I am.
Okay. What you got?
Number one, I'm just looking at something. I'm looking at some of the guys that are the opening day starters in Major League Baseball, and I'm kind of like,
is that the who's who?
What has happened to the starting pitcher?
Well, look at the Dodgers last night. Started a rookie.
Yeah, Dustin May. Well, now he's going to be a special player, and there was circumstances that went with that. Clayton Kershaw was like a late scratch there. But Tommy Malone? Matthew Boyd? Danny Duffy? Nate Eovaldi?
Marco Gonzalez?
Yeah, I mean, not, I'd love to be these guys, you know, but woof.
Ross Stripling? Well, no, that wait a minute. That's
game two for them. But
Andrew Haney? That's the ace for the Angels. Frank
Even
Montas?
Frankie Montas for the Oakland.
Frankie Montas.
He was excellent for the Sounds. You know, and he's a talent. Believe me, the A's have some guys that if you were watching a couple years ago, you saw what they could do, and now they're ready to do it in the major league level. But it's just not an emphasis on starting pitching, right? Montas would probably throw three or four innings, right? And they got a lot of relievers. So weird.
Sandy?
But this is who's
Alcantara?
On my list. Yeah.
Sure.
Another talent for Miami, he's the best of what they got. They don't have any veterans, right, that have done it for a long time. You're like, yeah, he's the best pitcher on the Marlins. That's the steady veteran. It's just going in a different direction, especially for starting pitchers.
Raul with the Dodgers was what in their rotation, like fourth? He's the opening day starter for Toronto.
They paid him big bucks,
I know,
way.
But what was he like fourth in the rotation for L.A. last year? I saw him out in Denver pitch against the Rockies. When I saw the Dodgers and the Rockies, I mean, he's like I said, wasn't he their fourth guy in the rotation?
Yeah, probably, but that's the Dodgers. Like, I would still put him, like, several levels above Tommy Malone. Who's like, been in the minors half the time the last three or four years. Good grief.
Yeah.
So this is who's on my list.
Okay.
Darren. The Boston Red Sox.
Oh, okay. Do tell.
I really think that the Red Sox have got to be kicking themselves. And, you know, I read up a lot on why they did what they did, but they have made a critical mistake. And I'm saying this the day after Mookie Betts signs this mega deal with the Dodgers. Because there was, I guess, a scenario where if he went back to free agency, the Red Sox would at least have another kick at it to try to make up for the mistake. Now they'll never make up for it. But I think they're going to rue the day that they did not handle the Mookie Betts situation better earlier. He's the one that got away. You just don't get Mookie Betts's all the time. There's certain players you do not let go. Mookie Betts should have been a Red Sox his entire career. And they let him go. They let it get away. And they end up trading him for pennies on the dollar. Maybe Alex Verdugo will be a pretty good player. He's not going to be Mookie Betts. And I know they had financial issues, but I just think that at some point you got to say this is a player that we cannot let go and pay him what we need to pay him. There was a lot of ways they could have done it, right? We were documenting it at the time, how dumb they were with the arbitration year after year. We were just like, lock him up.
What'd they do it?
Lock
3 years in a row?
Yes. It was ridiculous.
Yep.
They had so much time to get him in the fold. They could have gotten him locked up for a lot less money than he's making now.
Hey, it worked out for
him. Way less money.
He would have never signed a $365 million deal back then, so it worked out for him. Hey,
sure.
What they did helped him a lot. It set him and his family and their families and the families after them for life. I mean, they're all good because of that. Because there's no way he gets that deal. It's kind of like the Acuna deal. Like, I would love to know what he's thinking right now when he sees that.
Oh,
you
know? Wow.
It's like, what? Maybe I should have just kind of waited and kind of played this out and taken way less.
But you have to credit the Braves. You have to credit the Braves for making the move early. And Ronald Acuna is still so young, and he's a little immature. You hope that he grows up and is fine. There's never been an issue like that with Mookie Betts. He's always had the tremendous makeup.
Yep.
You drafted him. You developed him. You know Mookie Betts. Who do you want to invest in more than him? So,
you're talking to the choir.
I've married into a Red Sox family. They are ticked, right? I'll watch Mookie Betts no matter what uniform he's wearing, right? I'm excited. But selfishly, too, I love going to Fenway Park every summer and knowing that we were going to, you know, have a chance to watch him play.
Diana tour.
A little inside track to get the tickets. Those days are over,
yeah.
Right? At Fenway, anyway. So Red Sox, all in all.
You just made the list.
Mine is baseball related, but not where you think I'm going. It's going to be short and sweet. This is what I've got this week. And by the way, Ian wants to weigh in, so I'm curious to hear. He's chomping at the bit. By the way, 615-737-1025. We want you to participate. Get in there and tell us who or what is on your list. My short and sweet list is this. Last night, the Nationals and the Yankees started the Major League Baseball season off. You know, they got everything going. There was a doubleheader last night, two games to kick off their 60-game season. And, yeah, there weren't fans in the stands. There were cardboard cutouts. But they still had somebody throw out the ceremonial first pitch. Dr. Fauci, come on, man. That he is on the list. That was pathetic. First pitch.
I got to see this.
Pathetic.
I missed it.
Pathetic.
Not good.
Oh, my God. Oh, my. Not good.
You just made the list.
It's up there with all the worst. Yes, it's up there with
level?
The worst.
Oh, no.
The mayor of Cincinnati, worse. It was worse than that. Yes, terrible. Terrible. Terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
Terrible.
I put F-A-U-C in the box of YouTube, and Fauci first pitch is the first thing that came up there.
Pathetic.
Just put the letters F-A-U.
Just watch it. Look at it.
Okay, I'm gonna check this out. Ouch. Ouch.
Ouch. Yeah, ouch is one word. I had many other words that came to mind.
That was wide left.
A wide left? It almost went in the dugout, Willie.
Yeah. The catcher couldn't make the save there. Man, Dr. Fauci was a great basketball player back in the day. I guess he didn't play much baseball.
Or any? Let's go with that.
Oh,
or any?
Boy.
So, Dr. Fauci.
Come on.
I mean, you could.
I wonder if he tried to warm up.
Just roll it. Maybe, I'd rather you just roll it in.
Maybe he just wasn't loose.
What was
just
that?
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside is right. Ian, what do you got?
Well, it's nothing too crazy, but just a company, my credit card company. I was trying to make an online purchase. This was last month, and I was just trying to make an online purchase using my credit card, and it wouldn't go through. I was like, okay, this is a little bit weird. I thought maybe it was the internet. So I used used a different card, and it went through just fine.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, well, I better call the credit card company.
Sure. Pretty normal procedure
yeah.
there.
So I was like, okay, I'll call them and see what's going on. So they told me that since my card was expiring in the next couple of months, they went ahead and sent me a new card. However, before I received the new card, they had already disconnected the old card.
Oh, no.
Maybe a heads up. Maybe they, maybe let you know.
It was no big deal because I was, it wasn't like an emergency situation and I was just at home. I wasn't embarrassed or anything. No big deal. So I was like, okay. And they're like, oh, we sent you a new card today. I was like, oh, you sent it today. I was like, well, I have not received that card yet.
Yeah, how convenient.
I was like, I would like to be able to use this card until the new one comes in the mail. And they're like, okay, I'm so sorry. We'll activate the old card for you. And then when the new card comes, you can just use that.
It's too late now.
One. I'm like, okay, well, I've already missed the points on this purchase, whatever. And then so I get my new card in the mail, a couple weeks later, a week or two, open the card, open the mail, go on my app to activate the card, like it says, and there is no option to activate the card. So I'm like, okay. So I call them back and I tell them the situation. I just got my card. I'm trying to activate it. It won't let me activate it. And she says, oh, well, that card has already been activated. And I was like, well, I just received the card today. So I guess this whole time that it's been in the mail, it's been activated,
right?
So obviously nobody spent anything. And it was no big deal, but just for the overall inconvenience to my credit card company.
You just made the list!
Did you want to name names, or you just want to leave it at that?
I've had this card for the only credit card I've ever had since I've graduated high school, and I've never really had any problems with it. So I'll give him a break this one time.
You're going to give him a pass. Okay.
Yeah.
You're going to give him a mulligan.
Yep.
All right. Well, we know if you're going back to your credit card story down the road, you're going to name names. I can feel it.
Definitely.
Wow. Okay. That's good. 615-737-1025. Nate, who or what is on your list?
Hey, guys. We are going to go into the weekend on a happy note.
Okay.
Last week, my fiance texted me and said, hey, what are you doing next Thursday? I'm not doing anything. I'm just working from home. So I, clock out and then turn on TV. She sends me a picture from her work saying there is a movie night yesterday. Now, she did text me last week. So y'all follow?
I think.
Just making sure. There's a movie night at the Lewisburg Drive-In. They were playing Elf for free. And she knows
really?
That Elf is my favorite Christmas movie.
Okay.
And so for Murray Regional employees, as a thank you for, all the hard work they've been doing.
Okay.
And so we went. Yesterday wasn't a great day, but by the time we had ate, seen the whole movie, I felt a whole lot better. So for Murray Regional Hospitals, I'm putting you on the good list.
All right. So not the naughty list,
you
the
just
good
made
list.
The list.
No, and also, this is what I know. If Doug is on the line, I cannot wait to hear what he has for us this week.
Doug
this
has a lot of stories, doesn't
be,
he? I know.
This segment should be renamed to Doug's Weekly Update.
There's a lot of truth to that, Nate. Doug is never lacking stories. He's usually got something going on in his life. Good stuff. Thanks for the call. That was good.
Thank you.
615-737-1025. He's right about Doug. Let's go to Barrett. Barrett, who or what is on your list?
Doug's list, brought to you by Lexus. Proudly sponsored by the Big L.
Yeah, he has definitely had more than one story about his Lexus, hasn't he?
I have to agree fully, man. That dude is really top shelf. if you're listening, Doug, you got fan club out here.
All right.
So I'm putting the word mask on the list. okay? I think it's really, it has such negative connotations. You know, that horrible movie with Cher in it, that horrible Jim Carrey movie, Halloween, uncomfortable, cumbersome. If we just would start calling it face covering or respirator, you know, I do a lot of work in moldy situations and under houses, and I've had N95s. I was lucky. I had a stash of like a dozen I had just bought before this stuff hit. I never in a million years thought I would need them. But we'll call it a respirator. Call it a breathing apparatus. Call it face covering. Cover your face. Don't say wear a mask sounds so daunting and intimidating. And I think just that alone is what's helping a lot of people make excuses not to use it. But think about it. Mask. Just saying it. Hearing people say it. I cringe every time I hear y'all talk about it. And anyone else for that matter. So maybe we could make a concerted effort to just change the way we refer to it, and people might be much more likely to get on board.
Interesting.
And I may be crazy.
So is that you feel that way, or you've heard people say that? That's interesting. I've never even thought about it that way.
I feel very strongly that way, and I haven't read it online or anything. I'm a mask wearer. But every time I reach for mine, I'm getting my respirator, you know, my dust control, my breathing helper. You know, come up with a term. There's a lot smarter people out there than me, but I just mask.
Did you just, by the way, go Cher and mask 1985? did I hear you go there?
Absolutely, the biker boy.
I know, yeah.
So, you know, those images come to mind. Every time I hear it, I see that movie poster. Or I see Jim Carrey in that ridiculously stupid movie.
Sam Elliott, of course, was. I think he was in that movie, wasn't he?
Probably. Yeah, I think he was the gentle grandpa.
Yes.
Or the uncle or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, anything cowboy or motorcycle related, Sam Elliott will be in.
The kind-hearted, friendly, gentlemanly uncle.
Yeah, yeah.
But just think about it, you know, maybe say face covering and just get away from using masks, and people will be much more likely to do it, and we can nip this stuff from getting worse and worse and worse and worse and worse.
Okay.
And we can all go to a ball game.
Okay.
Have a great weekend, gentlemen.
All right, you too. So he's saying just the word mask, it's freaking people out.
Huh. Maybe.
Have you ever thought that? I've never thought that.
I haven't thought of it that way. I do hear people use the term face covering.
Uh-huh.
That does seem like it's a nicer way to go.
Hey, whatever works, I'm willing to do whatever. Whatever people are comfortable with and make them put it on, then I'll call it whatever you want me to call it. That's clean.
Yeah, whatever works.
Can't use bad words, but whatever's clean, I'll say it. I never thought about that. And he just went mask, Cher, 1980. I saw that movie. You saw it, right?
I don't know if I've ever seen it.
Really?
I've definitely seen pieces of it. I know about the movie. I don't think I've ever watched it.
I think the character was Rocky. I want to say Rocco, but I think I'm thinking Rocco Garbon. I think it was Rocky. I think was the boy's name. I think Rocky was his name. All right, let's go to, I think, Now, Willie, you were not here last week, is that right, on Friday?
Right.
I got put on the list by our next caller. So I don't know if he's calling to put me back on the list or if I'm off the list, because there was a development in last week's action. So let's go to, he's from The Athletic. He goes by Adam. Adam, who or what is on your list?
Don't worry, Darren. You are not on my list this week.
Yes.
So you are safe. But I actually do have something I'd like to get off my chest.
Okay.
If I may.
Go ahead.
I would like to put my insensitive neighbors on the list.
Oh,
you just made the list.
And here is why. So as you might have surmised, because of the pandemic, I live in an apartment complex near downtown. And as you might guess, because of the pandemic in March, the apartment building shut down the amenities within the building. So the gym was closed, the pool was closed, the club room was closed, and rightfully so.
Sure.
So about a month and a half ago, the building decided to slowly reopen the amenities. And by doing so, to limit the number of people at the pool and at the gym, they gave us this website where we could sign up for time slots at the gym or at the pool so that, you know, that they could, so that the building could monitor, you know, who was at each amenity and making sure that there weren't too many people there. Now, the issue with that is that even though you sign up, there's no check-in. So it's like if I wanted to go to the gym and I sign up for a time slot, there's nobody outside the gym making sure that I'm on the list, the gym list, not this list.
Really?
There isn't anybody. Yeah, there's nobody there. You know, it's not like you can scan. When you sign up for the amenities, it gives you like what happens when you go to the movies and you buy an online ticket. It gives you like that little barcode.
Sure.
There's no scanning. There's no scanning device to let you in the gym or the pool. So I don't really know why they have you sign up. But anyway, last Saturday, my wife wanted to go to the pool. So she signed up for a time slot in the mid-afternoon. According to her, there were only 16 people who signed up to go to the pool. Well, she gets to the pool, and she estimates there are at least 60 to 70 people at the pool.
60 to 70.
She estimates that there were 60 to 70 people at the pool.
Oh, my.
So, you know, the building received multiple complaints from other residents about the fact that the pool was a cesspool of coronavirus, probably. And they shut down the pool the following day. They said it was closed until further notice. And then on Monday, they sent an email to everybody in the building saying that the pool will now be open, get this, Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Because those are prime pool hours for everybody who's working.
Those are prime pool hours. Those are prime pool hours. So, I mean, I have a job that allows me to have a little bit more flexibility with my schedule. So if I wanted to hop to the pool for an hour in the middle of the day, I could get away with that. You know, listen to some pregame of Predators hockey on 102.5 The Game while I'm soaking in some sun, you know.
Yeah.
But my wife, who works a normal job, she can't go to the pool from 10 to 5 on Tuesday through Friday. So I would like to put all of my insensitive, stupid neighbors who ruin the pool for everybody on the list.
By the way, that's one way to get the numbers down. Make the hours 10 to 5 Tuesday through Friday.
Yeah.
That'll get the numbers down. By the way, use your line that you texted me about Dr. Fauci.
I thought that was good. I was going to ask you. Yeah, I would say that was more than flat.
Adam said it was a flat curve. That was well done. Golf clap.
The ball was socially distanced. The ball was socially distancing from home plate is another one that I've heard. So Dr. Fauci was setting a good example for the rest of us, unlike the people at my pool who don't listen to the rules.
Wow, good stuff.
Yeah, obviously they did not sign up. Something broke down the system, and there was certainly no representative of the apartment complex saying, listen.
What did you think was going
to happen? You can't come in. You're not on the – this is where you wanted to be on the list.
Let me guess. Right? Your apartment complex said, we strongly suggest you don't show up if you're not on the list. Like, we get it. Like, we got to get past strongly suggesting. I mean, how do you – you're not going to have anybody monitoring it. What do you think's going to happen?
I mean, they could have easily hired Paul Blart Mall Cop to sit out there and just check people into the pool, for God's sake. But not even that. And now we have to go to the pool on Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, good stuff, Adam. Thank you.
All right, guys. Be good. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too. Let's squeeze one more in before we get to Pierre McGuire. Charles, who or what is on your list?
Well, good afternoon, guys. I don't know whether to put myself on the list or this cashier clerk at the Pilot truck stop over on Centennial.
Uh-oh.
But I'm going to put the Pilot truck stop clerk on there. I went in there yesterday and got a drink, and I know there's a chain shortage. Actually, there's not. If you look at the financial stability of the coins anyway, there's plenty out there. When I got my drink, when I got my items there, Pilot, it came to $3.84. And the lady says, well, I can't give you any change. And I said, I don't understand. You mean you don't have any change in your drawer? She says, I don't have 16 cents. I said, well, if you don't have 16 cents, why are you open to begin with? And she says, well, we're not giving change out. I said, well, that's like you're telling me that instead of my items being $3.84, it's $4.
Right.
So you're actually stealing 16 cents from me. And the lady right next to her, next clerk, said, well, I don't understand why people are so upset about giving, you know, letting their change go. I said, let me tell you something. I bust my tail out here every day for every single penny I make. I'm not these, no offense to anybody else that's making millions of dollars. I said, I don't make a lot of money. I said, the change helps me at the end of the week. I'll gather it all up and I'll go get some gas or whatever else I you know, some extras that we don't have in the house. I said, for you to tell me that my change isn't important, why don't you just give me your change and we'll see how you like it. So I don't know whether to put myself on the list or put them on, but they made my list.
You just made the list.
I work really hard for my money.
Charles,
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
You guys are great to listen to, and I turn it off when you guys leave the air at 2 o'clock. I have to switch it off. Can't stand Jared anymore. So
Well, thank you for calling in, Charles, and you're not out of line by saying you want your change. I mean, by the way, if they do that to every customer all day long, every day, 7 days a week, you know, that'll turn out to be some pretty good money for Pilot. So I don't think he's out of line with that. We'll come back, talk some hockey with Pierre McGuire. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I'm Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We had a lot of fun doing the show at Bridgestone Arena on Tuesday, Wednesday, and yesterday. The Predators are off today. They'll practice tomorrow, and then they'll load up the plane and head to their hub city in Edmonton. We always enjoy our conversations with our next guest. Pierre McGuire is on the line with us, of course, with NBC Sports. Pierre, how you doing?
Darren, Willie, I'm doing fantastic. I'm about 120 miles north of Montreal, where I grew up in the woods in Mont-Tremblant, Quebec, and quarantining here. I've got 4 more days left in a 2-week quarantine, and then I fly to Edmonton on Monday.
Is this where you've been since the entire pause in mid-March?
Oh, no. I was in Connecticut, where I live most of the year, even though I'm on the road most of the year, actually. And training a bunch of kids, giving stuff back to the game of hockey up in Boston for about 3.5 months. So most of my time was spent between Connecticut and Massachusetts. And I was mostly on the ice, believe it or not. So it was really good. I really enjoyed it, working with a lot of college players and some minor league pro players and some really top-end kids that are eligible for the draft this coming October, which should have happened in June. So there you go.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. What'd you think of yesterday? So we broke it. Let's see, after the first hour of the show, the Seattle Kraken. What do you think?
Well, you know, obviously the Pacific Ocean really matters to them, especially in the Pacific Northwest. You know, you got the Vancouver Canucks, and their logo is of the big orca whale, and the Kraken is kind of a neat thing. It's a mythological sea animal, and I think it kind of speaks to the aggressive nature that they want to have. I know their general manager really well, Ronnie Francis. I sit on the Hockey Hall of Fame selection committee with him, and I also coached him in 91 and 92 when the Pittsburgh Penguins won the Stanley Cup. So I've known Ronnie a long time. I have a lot of respect for him. And one of the things I know about their ownership group and the people running it, by Todd Lazicki, they are really thorough in terms of their approach, and I have to think that they had a lot of sampling done before they actually picked that name. So I love the color scheme. I love the logos. I think it's going to work really well. I think hockey's going to be fantastically successful in Seattle.
Yeah. As we've talked a lot, Pierre, at least 4+ months, none of us have a clue what's about to happen on August the 1st. Of course, the Predators will play on August the 2nd. But, to, you know, to have these circumstances and, you know, one hand, you get a lot of teams fully healthy. But on the other hand, you know, you've had a pause for 4+ months, and now you pick up where you left off, and it's, oh, by the way, the playoffs, and it's meaningful. How do you think, without any of us knowing, how do you think it's all going to play out in your mind?
I think the teams that have really good internal leadership There'll be teams that have a bit of an advantage. It's going to be so different without crowd noise.
Yeah.
And it's going to be so different for the players because I work between the benches. That's what I'm going to be doing in Edmonton. So that's going to be a totally foreign concept for me. I mean, I've been in the NHL since 1990, and to think it, you know, you're going to be in a building and there's not going to be any noise except for the, you know, the skates cutting into the ice or slap shots going off goalposts or going wide off the boards or bodies being racked into the glass. That's about it. I mean, you're not going to have any crowd noise at all. So I think teams that have really good leadership, there'll be teams that have a bit of an advantage. And I think teams that have veteran players that took care of themselves and are highly explosive offensively, I think those teams will have advantages. I think teams that have young players that maybe didn't take it as seriously during the pause or teams that are younger that maybe don't have great leadership, I think they might have a bit of a problem.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It's, you're right. You've always had that perspective in between the benches, so you're down there. But you hear a lot of stuff. You got a bench to your right, a bench to your left, and you got a whole lot of people behind you, behind the glass. And so, you know, I said at the beginning of this interview that last 3 days we've been at Bridgestone Arena doing our show, and obviously just a handful of media in there, so quiet, empty arena. And they've had inter-squad scrimmage the last couple of days, and we've been up in the broadcast booth, which is high atop Bridgestone Arena, and we could. And by the way, the head official, because they had officials the last 2 days, was Scotty Nichol. So the reason I'm bringing that up is when he made a call, Pierre, you're going to get a kick out of this. We could hear the chatter amongst the players just giving it to him whenever he made a call. The point is, that is going to be weird, and I wonder how much of that is going to get out over the broadcast, how we were high atop in the arena, and we could hear all the chatter and them just giving it to him every time he blew his whistle.
It's one of the most underappreciated things in the National Hockey League for the fans in the building, because it's so loud in the building, is how loud the players communicate at ice level. And, you know, they make their mouths very important. Communicating with teammates when there's pressure on, or goalies communicating with the defense to tell them where the outlets are, because things happen so fast. It's amazing. And so I think that'll be one of the cool parts about it, is the fans at home will be able to hear a lot of that ancillary noise that maybe they're not used to hearing. So I think that's really cool. Scotty Nichol, even though he's not overly large, was about as rough and tough a customer, pound for pound, over the entire length of his career. I have a ton of respect for Scotty and the way he carried himself all those years that he played in the league. Tremendous hockey guy. And I wish I could have seen him officiating, because he used to really give it to the officials. So it would have been fun to watch him officiate.
So that was maybe a little karma, maybe coming back his way now that he's on the other side. Well, the good news is, you know, that was more of the veteran guys, because now that he's the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, the younger guys were calling him sir. I don't think they were giving him any grief.
Oh, that's just a great story. You know, the thing again, Nashville's of one of these teams. If they can engage their defense into the offense, which is really one of the organizational strengths of the Predators, if they can do that, I think that's going to help them a ton. And again, a lot of that comes down to conditioning, so it depends on how well the guys took care of themselves in the offseason. You know, you've got one of the preeminent defensemen in the league in Roman Josi there. He's just so darn good at manufacturing offense from the back end. Ryan Ellis is another one of those guys that so darn good. Matthias Ekholm, just another. So, you know, the strength of the team is really offense from the defense. And if they're able to do that, I think that gives them a subtle little advantage going into their series with Arizona.
Because this qualifying round is a five-game series, Pierre, we're so used to seven-game long, grueling series. How do you think these teams are going to go about the shorter series? Is strategy a little bit different with that being said?
You know, that's a great question. I think from all my coaching years, the one thing we used to tell our teams before every playoff series was discipline. But I think in this case, more than ever, you can't get behind the eight ball early in games. You can't make mistakes because they're self-inflicted. So if you take bad penalties and the other team capitalizes, it's going to be really hard to get back into games. So I think stressing the discipline aspect of the game is going to be really important. And that's why I think veteran teams that have been through this a lot, they kind of understand how to manage the moment and massage it a little bit. But it would be interesting as well to see how the officials call games early on, because I do think if teams are super aggressive and try to exploit the other team quickly and take penalties because of that, they could be in trouble. But if the referees give them a little bit longer rope to run with, it could be very, very interesting, very interesting.
We're talking with Pierre McGuire from NBC Sports. He'll be on hand, and he will be in Edmonton calling the games in the Western Conference, which, of course, is of interest to the Predator fans. And, Pierre, I know some of the details are coming out of what the broadcasts are going to look like. Extra cameras, I think, some of the ways to enhance for all the viewers that will be watching this very intently.
Yeah, there are going to be about 10 to 12 more cameras in the building compared to what we usually have. And a lot of them are going to be in positions where fans usually sit. So you can't put those cameras in when the buildings are full of fans. So that's going to be an interesting thing for the producers and the directors to work in terms of the angles that they utilize to show different phases or facets of the game. So I think that's going to be really interesting for the fans. Obviously, the sound that we had talked about, I think, is going to be a really important part of it. And again, I just think that if the tempo, usually when you have this kind of a situation, there are lots of mistakes that happen, and that leads to really good hockey. People like to see mistakes because it leads to great offensive scoring chances. So I think that could be part of it early on, too, is the amount of mistakes that are made. If those mistakes happen and they're prominent, that's going to lead to some unbelievable end-to-end action.
We've had some great debates over that part of it, Pierre, with people like Hal Gill and Chris Mason and some of the analysts for the Predators, is if the game is going to look a little bit more like it would in October, where maybe there are a few more mistakes, maybe a few more penalties, and would that lead to a higher scoring game than you might see otherwise in those first few playoff games?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to hear from Hal's perspective as a defenseman, how he would envision it, because he was a big guy, and it usually takes guys just a little bit longer to get going. Once the season starts, they're just at a little a disadvantage. And in terms of the goalies, I'd love to hear what Chris would have to say. I personally, just again from my experience, that the goalies might have a tinge of an advantage early on, only because they don't need ice all the time to be practicing. They can work under flexibility. They can work on their core strength. They can work on their conditioning levels without being on the ice. So more times than not, early on, the goalie's got a bit of an advantage over the offensive players, and I think the defensemen have a little bit of a disadvantage. So it would be really interesting to hear what both of them would have to say. But I do think we'll see probably a few more goals because the defense is going to, I think, have a tough time with how the speed of the forwards is going to be.
Pierre, Taylor Hall, of course, is going to be a very, very important guy in this series. And, of course, he's a highly sought-after potential free agent. We know that the Coyotes would love to have him stick around. What kind of dynamic, if anything, does that create in a short series like this?
He's one of the better game-breakers in the league. The problem with Taylor is there's been this lack of consistency over the course of his career, and part of it's been because he hasn't been on very good teams. And so teams really focus in on him, and they take him away as a weapon. Because there are not a lot of other weapons for them to worry about. And so that creates a bit of a problem. But Taylor's always been a highly explosive offensive game-breaking type of a player. In terms of the potential to be an unrestricted free agent, he didn't finish the season extremely well with Arizona. Before we went to the pause, he was struggling. The team was kind of struggling too. So this is kind of a showcase cinema for him, really, when you think about it. And I'd have to think that he'd want to really take advantage of this opportunity. But the one thing that I know from having done so many games of the Nashville Predators, it's hard to manufacture a lot of chances against them. It's really hard. I mean, the defense is really strong. They're extremely well coached. They play big at the point of attack. They transition the puck out of their own zone so well, it's hard to establish a forecheck. And so that's one of the things for a player like Taylor Hall. It's not always that easy when you're playing against a stingy team like Nashville defensively.
No doubt about that. It's going to be really something to watch. And, Pierre, I'm curious, what is your schedule going to be like? I know there's three games a day in Edmonton, but I cannot wait, just as a hockey fan, for example, the day before the Predators play their first game, we've got five games to sit back and just watch all day like we would watch the NCAA basketball tournament. It's going to be awesome. How many games are you doing each day? What's your schedule going to be like?
The first 2 days I have five games. So I've got two the first day, and I've got three the second.
Got to hydrate, right? Get that water
in
there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%. You know, it's interesting. I talked to a very good friend of mine who's been in the league over 30 years. When I was coaching Hartford, he worked for our team, Johnny Forsland, who's going to be doing a ton of games for NBC. He's up in Toronto right now, in the pod in Toronto. And he got in there yesterday, and he says it's completely different than anything you've ever experienced over the course of your career. There are fences around the hotels. Everything is cordoned off. The players are in for a rude, you know, awakening. It's completely different than anything they're used to experiencing over the course of their careers. Road trips are different because there are different restaurants for you to go to. You usually stay in the same hotel, but you're not, you know, forced to stay in your room for the first 4 days that you get there. I mean, this is going to be a very, very different experience for everybody that's involved in this. Really different.
Wow. Can't wait. Well, there's going to be long days, but fun days. For you.
Oh, my
sure.
gosh. This is not heavy lifting. I mean, this is an amazing opportunity to help grow the game and sell the game. And, you know what? I respect it. The one thing I'll say, I've been in the league a long time. Between playing, coaching, and broadcasting, it's been a long time, almost 33 years. And the one thing I would tell you that really mattered to me a lot during this offseason, or the pause, I guess, was how the National Hockey League Players Association and the NHL got together to extend the collective bargaining agreement without having all kinds of nasty public discussion. I thought the maturity on both sides was phenomenal. They struck a deal that I think benefits both sides, but it really helped stabilize the game. And the biggest thing is they found a way to accommodate one another to get back and try to have a finish to the season. I respect the players, the coaches, the GMs, the owners so much for having done this. It's phenomenal what they've done. And I, again, being part of the product and going into the pod, I can tell you, the levels of security that they've gone through with everybody that has to be, where you're a player, coach, broadcaster, management person, it's been unbelievable. I'm way deep in the woods here in Quebec right now, in northern Quebec, and a lady came to give me a COVID test today. I can't get on the plane Monday unless I have a COVID test today. So I had one this morning at 9 o'clock, and they drove from Montreal, which is about an hour and 20 minutes away, to come up and give me that test. So it just shows you how thorough they're being with everybody.
Wow. Amen to that. Really good stuff as always. You continue to be safe. Enjoy the hub, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you down the road. Thanks, Pierre.
Oh, I'll talk to you guys anytime. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on. And please be safe, everybody, and enjoy the NHL and NBC. It's going to be a wild ride at the finish. I'll
we
tell you that.
We do not wait.
August 1st. We cannot wait either. Take care.
All right. Thank you. That is Pierre McGuire, NBC Sports. We know five games starting at 11 a.m. in the morning, basically all the way through the night. I think the last game will probably end about midnight. So about 13 hours of hockey starting on August the 1st. And then, of course, the Predators will kick the action off on August the 2nd against the Arizona Coyotes. We'll come back and wrap up the third hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next. Good stuff from Pierre McGuire. Really good conversation with him, as always. I'll always enjoy talking to him. It was interesting hearing him talk about the hub cities with the basically gated off and everything. That was, I guess, not surprising, but just interesting to hear. I have not seen any pictures of the setup at all. Have you? Hello? Am I on?
Sorry, Darren. I was.
did I mute
myself? I was compiling a question. I was scribbling notes down.
Oh, for trivia, by the way.
At 1 o'clock, yes. Yep, and I also just fired off a tweet just to just so we don't start behind by because
with
we're
a
have,
speech. Yeah.
Right. I mean, we're going to have condensed time during this trivia session here, so we want to hit the ground running. So I want to let people know right now that if you want to win and get after it on trivia, it's opening day of Major League Baseball. I know opening night was last night, but this is the big one, right? This is where everybody's playing. Plus, we're going to have Preds trivia. So if Preds and baseball is your thing, we're going to have a good time. So get ready, 615-737-1025 to participate in trivia. Let's go.
He is
okay, sorry. What was your question?
Well, I was
to me.
I just said it was interesting to hear him talk about the setup for the hub cities, because I haven't seen anything talking about how they're all basically gated off or roped off or however he described it. But I haven't seen any pictures out there. So
they are determined to keep everybody safe when they're there. And listen, we got to tip our hat. Canada has done a very good job of controlling the numbers on the outside. But regardless of that, once the guys get in there, they have created a community within that. They had a big conference call, I think it was yesterday, with the league, and was laying out. They had some maps and, you know, some features of what exactly is going on in there, the restaurants that are available and the options that they have. There's even pickleball, I think, in Toronto, which was music to my ears, and I'm jealous that I'm not there to take on all challengers there with my cohorts that we like to do on the road. But it's going to be pretty interesting. And I think something to look for, I'm curious myself what it's going to look like, as we're going to get this feed when we do the games for Fox Sports Tennessee. The first one is the one against Dallas. But they're going to have 12 additional cameras. So you talk about different angles, right?
Yeah.
Because there's nobody sitting there, that you can put a camera there. So they said, what the heck? Let's experiment and let's see what different viewpoints we can give to the game. Now, how they're going to coordinate all that in the truck, that's going to be a huge challenge for the director and the producer that's sitting there trying to decide what to show the audience. For example, I was listening to the Yankees radio crew last night. They were in two different booths at Yankee Stadium calling the game in Washington, right, against the Nationals. So they were watching off the monitor, and Susan Waldman, in the first couple innings, I was on a jog. I was just flipping around just to hear what they were going through. She says, okay, I'm trying to get my quadrant set here. In other words, I guess she had a choice of how to maneuver what camera angles she could watch. And she was like, wait a minute, I lost the guy at first base. Hold on a second, John. So there was some adjusting that was going on there. I would imagine the first game or two, especially that exhibition game, there's going to have to be some experimentation. Let's see what we can do with all this stuff. But at the same time, it's going to be very exciting.
So I noticed Adam Vinkin, who we talked to on You Just Made the List earlier this hour, did tweet out some like screenshots of what inside the arena will look like. And so I guess they're not going to have the nets, right, because there's no fans, so no nets in the end zone. Is that I see none in this shot. Looks like to me the lower bowl is tarped off. I don't know if this is exactly what the setup is going to look like in Edmonton, but I guess it's all tarped off. And
well, you saw what the NBA guys are doing. Like, they're superimposing fans. Like, they're trying to create a fan look. And so I think the conclusion has been drawn, whether it be the cardboard cutouts in baseball or what Fox is going to do for baseball and just basically superimpose electronically fans or the look of fans. I think the conclusion one way or the other is just all empty seats is not the look that you want. And, hey, you got to create something, so why not create something that looks more like what we're used to seeing? It's really interesting. They've been thinking about this for months. So, you know, here we go. You all this time to put this together, now we're really going to see what happens.
So you've got Rogers Place, and you're familiar with the setup. You've got a J-Dub Marriott, I guess, connected to it. And then looks like a couple blocks you've got Sutton Place and Delta Hotels. So I guess the reason they've got those highlighted is because those will be, I guess, the team hotels. So interesting. I guess there's going to be four in Events Plaza. Looks like there's going to be, I guess, four hotels they're going to use. So I would assume, I guess those will be just for the league, right? It's just the hotels will only be for the league. Is that right? Teams, the league. Pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah. The league has basically taken over.
I was going to say, they've taken over
a whole section of the downtown. Yeah. You know, basically, this is ours. No, nobody can come in. I would guess that's a little easier to do in Edmonton. It's not as it's a big city. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's not as big as Toronto. But they've got some real estate, and I'm guessing it was a pretty sizable investment that they had to make to get all of this. Can you imagine the cost of staffing it? And I don't know, but I would assume that even the workers, you know, the chefs, the people that are going to clean rooms have to stay in that environment. I don't know that to be a fact, but I guess I'll read up with that over the weekend. But that's it's going to be quite the community for the next couple of months.
Yep, no doubt about it. I was just seeing our buddy Richard Justice, who covers Major League Baseball for MLB.com and the MLB Network, put that the team that will travel the most in this abbreviated season in MLB will be, care to guess, with miles and everything?
Marlins?
Marlins, not in the top five.
Which okay.
is a good guess, by the way.
Rockies.
Rockies are fifth.
Rangers.
Rangers, number one. Astros, number two.
Yeah.
Mariners.
Texas teams in the West.
Three.
That makes a lot of sense.
Texas
yeah,
teams.
Mariners.
Seattle.
Nothing's near Seattle. Yeah.
Oakland, Colorado. There's your top five.
Yeah, I don't know why I was thinking anything but the West.
Well,
the answer
but
always
Miami,
is somewhere in the West.
But Miami's at the bottom of Florida. I mean, that's way, way, way down there. But, yeah, it's all the teams out West, basically. All right, we will come back and start the fourth and
trivia
final
time.
Hour with some trivia. We do
Let's
that
go.
Next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.